This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Coming to you from an undisclosed broadcast location, one voice delivering truth and pain. Presented by Guns.com. Trusted by millions of gun owners nationwide. This is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
All right. Hour number two from the Guns.com radio studio. This is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by Aero Precision.
For over 25 years, Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
Check them out at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Excuse me. Why is my throat like this? Excuse me. Now, the right to keep and bear arms is enshrined in the Constitution, but it is not compulsory. There's nothing there to say that you have to exercise your gun rights. That's up to each individual to decide, as it should be. And most of us, well, at least everybody I know, we exercise them every chance we get while millions of others don't. In some states, people can willingly put themselves on a list that prohibits them from buying guns. I don't know what would lead you to do that. I don't know why you would want to do that. And it seems that few are actually taking advantage of that, if that's actually a phrase to actually use, taking advantage of it. And some are trying to figure out why that is. Now, the law, and I don't know where this is actually a law, passed in 2018, allows residents to submit a short form to their county clerk's office in any county in the state. And if they change their mind, they have to wait 7 days before the county can revoke it. This has been called a valuable tool that can help prevent tragedies without outside coercion. The quote is, it's a libertarian kind of tool, right? It's an option that's available for people. So there's nothing particularly oppressive about it. Now, these laws stand in contrast to red flag laws where a court can step in and take somebody's gun rights if they're viewed as a risk. Which, they don't actually take your gun rights, they just take your guns. Now, the thought is that the law may be so obscure that few people have used it. And somebody named Peterson said that as of a year ago, there were just 20 waivers in the system statewide, whichever state this is. To put that in comparison, 864 people were killed by a firearm in the state in 2020, according to CDC statistics. But the idea is catching on. Since Washington passed this law, maybe this is Washington, additional states like Virginia and Utah have put similar measures in place. But like in Washington State, few people have taken advantage of the law. Last year, between 30 and 40 people took advantage of the Do Not Sell list in Utah. One reason laws may not be reaching many people is because of a lack of public awareness, which, congratulations, gun grabbers, join my world. Because there's a lot of people that are not aware of a lot of things. Peterson said, I think one of the biggest issues that people aren't even aware that it exists. And hear me out on this one, okay? It's a stupid idea. I don't see this as necessarily oppressive or tyrannical, because if people are only doing this voluntarily, then yeah, it's none of those things. But the idea itself, in and of its own merits, is kind of idiotic. And what we have is a list where people can voluntarily give up a God-given right and be legally prevented from exercising that right. And that's appealing to many who envision folks recognizing they're in a bad place and giving up their guns. Yet they don't actually seem to get that this might be too extreme for many to want to take advantage of it. If somebody's depressed or otherwise suffering from mental health issues, it's unlikely that many will think of the possibility of killing themselves or hurting others far enough out that they would even think about putting themselves on the list. And still others won't want to give up their right to buy a gun because they figure they'll get over whatever the issue is soon enough. They want to protect that right, as we should every right. Then there are those who believe they'd never buy a gun no matter what. Why go through the hassle of putting themselves on some list that would bar them from doing something they figure they'd never do anyway? For many, it's just not something they think about, even if they know the list exists. And for others, it's too far for them to consider. It goes too far. They don't want to have to jump through hoops to get their name off the list when they're feeling better and decide they want a gun to buy a gun for personal protection. Unfortunately, the brainiacs behind this stuff like this rarely talk to gun owners to get their input on something like this. Now, as we shift a little bit, Biden, as he has run for every office, he's always, gun control is like a surfboard for him. He's always on it. It's one thing that he is consistent about, and he's been remarkably consistent with this during his presidency. One particular target of his has been semi-automatic firearms. Now, normally, a president, if he's going to target something, they would go for the low-hanging fruit, the assault weapon. The idea of banning those has a lot broader support than a general ban on semi-automatics, except they're one and the same in actuality. But does Biden understand the difference? Maybe not. At the New York Post, an op-ed argues that at least some of this is based on pure ignorance of things he says. The hallmark of the Biden presidency is ignorance. The hallmark of the gun policy debate is ignorance. And so when Biden weighs in on firearms, as with his recent insistence the United States should categorically prohibit semi-automatic weapons, the result is ignorance squared. Now, Biden has been in office since I was 11 years old. All the way through, except for the 4 years that he was not the vice president. And he was elected to the Senate when I was 11, when the violent crime rate in the United States was on its way toward quadrupling from its relatively modest 1960 level to a ghastly peak in 1991. You would think that Biden would have at some point in those 5 decades learned a little something about guns and crime. Which he probably has, but it doesn't matter because that's not what he's going for. Now, Biden, like many Democrats, speak about semi-automatic firearms, a category that includes nearly all the handguns currently sold and the great majority of the rifles. When I was buying the pistol I bought today, most of that case was semi-automatic firearms. But they speak about them as though the presence of these weapons in civilian hands is something that just happened. It just started happening. Nothing could be further from the truth. Semi-automatic handguns have been for sale in the civilian market since the late 19th century. And by the early 20th century, Colt was selling tens of thousands of its popular semi-automatic handgun, known as the 1911, after the year of its introduction to civilians as well as exporting them to Canada and other countries. Semi-automatic rifles weren't far behind, with Winchester offering his first in 1903, Remington in 1905. And these were explicitly designed for the civilian market. The first military-use semi-automatic rifle wouldn't come into use until a few years later. The AR-15 was first sold to civilians in the early 1960s and was advertised as a hunting rifle. According to the ATF data, about 85% of all handguns sold in the United States in 2018 were semi-automatic, with almost all of the rest being revolvers. And ATF data do not separate semi-automatic rifles from the other kinds, so the prevalence of semi-automatics cannot be determined precisely, but a look around any gun shop or a trip to any firing range will suggest that semi-automatics make up about the same share of rifles as of pistols. Kevin Williamson was quite right about Biden's ignorance regarding guns. Where I disagree with him is whether it would matter much. Biden could be as well versed on firearms as any gun enthusiast, but would it change his fundamental aversion to us being able to exercise the right to keep and bear arms? I kind of don't think so. So his attempt to ban semi-automatics was always in the cards. If he's guilty of anything on that front, it's really just jumping the gun. No pun intended. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest-growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high-quality distance education using time-tested materials and hands-on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to MGS.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Barada. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
From the Guns.com radio studio, this is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by Arrow Precision.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
Check them out at arrowprecisionusa.com. In Connecticut, Governor Ned Lamont says he's moving ahead with efforts to ban the continued possession of so-called assault weapons, even though several Democratic lawmakers in the Nutmeg State has shown very little appetite for the gun confiscation plan. See, all of the they're already banned. Can't buy no new ones. But the old ones were grandfathered in, and now he wants those to go away too. Which, you know, so much for the guarantees of the bill, the original bill. His bill doesn't go far enough, though, for one longtime politico in the state. Stephen Stringer, who served as a press secretary on Capitol Hill and did a stint as a PR flack and adjunct professor for Harvard's Kennedy School of Government, says in a new column that the gun control movement needs to quit tiptoeing around the Second Amendment and start pushing for what they really want. A full repeal of the Second Amendment and the eradication of the right to keep and bear arms. You know, for a lot of people I know, guns used to be a part of their childhood in Connecticut. One of the, a lot of the schools when I was growing up had rifle ranges in the basement or in the gym. To, you know, and people on the rifle teams, I remember in my school, they were introverts and unathletic kids who still wanted a team sport experience. So they kept these 22 caliber Winchester rifles in a really messed up cabinet, and they would go practice for matches against other schools. And the safety training for them was rudimentary but effective, mainly never leave a bullet in it and don't point it at anyone. Gun violence, murder, has escalated dramatically since the early 1970s. In the wake of the transformation of the NRA from a sportsman's association to a hard right activist organization, guns are much more prevalent in American political life. Even as rampage killings become commonplace and calls for gun safety protections grow, the NRA continues to use the Second Amendment as an excuse to successfully nurture the powerful countervailing gun rights movement. Now, despite his claims, all that stuff was Mr. Stringer speaking, murder has not escalated dramatically since the early 1970s. In fact, the nation's homicide rate is substantially lower than it was 50 years ago. The FBI's estimated homicide rate for 2021 was 6.9 per 100,000 people, a noticeable increase from the 5 per 100,000 seen in 2019, but far lower than the murder rate of 8.6 per 100,000 recorded in 1978. And we've seen peaks and valleys in both the homicide and violent crime rates between now and then. Crime rates actually increased throughout much of the 70s and 80s before peaking around 1991. Between 91 and 2019, violent crime and the homicide rate both fell by more than 50%, only to spike again in 2020 amidst the double whammy of COVID-19 and the widespread riots and unrest following the death of George Floyd. Now, statistics don't really matter to somebody like Stringer. When crime rates are falling, gun control advocates simply argue that they're not falling fast enough and we need to pass more common sense gun safety laws to help. When they're climbing, they claim that a lack of gun laws is to blame. But according to Stringer, these anti-gun activists are still providing too much lip service toward the Second Amendment for his liking. One tenet of the Overton window concept is that elected officials generally seek to stay within the range of conventional positions. Currently, the idea of a Second Amendment that negates most gun laws is so ingrained, political leaders committing to reducing gun violence are forced to uniformly state that they're not talking about intruding on the basic right, that they're not seeking to take away your guns. They fear being seen as being too radical and give away too much ground, leaving the center of the debate too far to the right. This leaves it to the gun safety movement, to teachers and students, and every one of us concerned about the 35,000 Americans killed by gun violence so far this year, to take up a call to repeal the Second Amendment. It is up to gun safety advocates to be bolder and more aggressive, to provide the air cover for like-minded people in the legislative trenches, to move more incremental but currently controversial measures forward. There is evidence that a bold repeal campaign could be useful and effective. A recent academic study found that use of radical tactics by one flank led to the more moderate faction to appear less radical. This perception led participants to identify more and in turn express greater support for the more moderate faction. So what they're basically saying here is that they, We'll get out here and we'll say, we want guns taken away, you can't be redheaded and part your hair on the right, and we want the letter M stricken from the English language. And then there'll be somebody else, the other side will be like, oh no, we just want universal background checks. Amusingly enough, though, Stringer complains that gun control activists are too deferential towards gun ownership. But he does this exact same thing in his column, assuring readers that even if the Second Impact were appealed, it would impact them. And he said, to be clear, a repeal of the Second Amendment campaign would not be to argue that nobody should have guns, but that not everyone should be able to have assault weapons on demand. It would not mean competitive shooters and hunters and people in need of personal protection should not have guns, but it could mean that the principal obstacle to any reasonable law would be removed. So, okay. What defines reasonable in Mr. Stringer's worldview? And the same ones who are trying to make it as difficult and legally dangerous as possible to exercise your right to carry a gun for self-defense. The same ones who object to any new gun range where folks can get training or participate in competitive shooting. The same people advocating for repealing the protection of a fundamental civil right. And at that point, why not even go bigger than what Stringer's proposing of and call for the repeal of the entirety of the Bill of Rights? Just think how much more efficient our criminal justice system would be if we didn't have those pesky protections provided by the 4th or the 5th. And how much money our men and women in uniform could save on housing costs if they were allowed to move into the homes of civilians without having to pay rent. The only thing that Mr. Stringer's call to repeal the Second Amendment has going for it is honesty. Unlike all those false promises and empty campaign pledges to respect the right, from politicians who in the same breath boast about their support for reasonable restrictions on gun ownership, like banning guns or restricting the right to carry to a handful of public locations. But that's precisely the reason the gun control lobby will never follow Stringer's advice. They know that demanding the repeal of the Second Amendment would bring an even bigger backlash that they don't even know if they could control. So, for now, stripping the Second Amendment from the Bill of Rights is something that most anti-gun activists, Stringer not included. They may dream about it, but they're not going to talk about it at the moment. But here's a guy that has finally said the quiet part out loud. And that's the part that, you know, we should all be cognizant of, because that's really what they want to do. Really what they want to do. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality-built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
USA News update. The U.S. Department of Transportation says it's concerned by Southwest Airlines' quote unacceptable rate of cancellations and delays and reports of lack of prompt customer service. The agency said it will examine whether the airline could have done more to prevent widespread flight cancellations the day after Christmas. President Biden is promising to hold airlines accountable. The president urged Americans affected to visit the Department of Transportation's website to see if they're entitled to compensation. Southwest officials say its scheduling process is partly to blame. Here's something that could cheer you up. Mega Millions jackpot.
How much?
$4, please. Good luck, sir.
Thank you.
The jackpot is $565 million with a cash option just shy of $294 million. The drawing is at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Six people are dead after a fire in Ohio. The cause of Monday morning's blaze is still under investigation. Jeremy Scott, USA News.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Guns.com radio studio. This is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by Aero Precision.
For over 25 years, Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
Check them out at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. I miss Bob Owens, the former editor and chief writer at Bearing Arms. I miss him. In some ways, he thought radically outside of the box in the, you know, as far as the things that he would look at and the things that he would write. He would create, whereas I'm just a commentator, he would create a topic. And he noticed something that I've noticed too. Have you ever noticed that in 2016, we were saying there were 300 million firearms in the United States in 2016. But we know that Barack Obama, by June of 2013, he had over 100 million NICS checks under his presidency. And the number of how many guns were in the United States remained static for years. We also knew that the NICS background check system set new records for 15 straight months in 2016. Bob Owens noticed this, and he looked at a weapons ban, a gun blog created and manned by a former Special Forces soldier and his peers, and makes a compelling argument that the commonly bantered about estimate, this is in 2016 now, of 300 million guns in the United States may potentially be 100 to 360 million too low. But The numbers are all over the place. And many of them seem to be recursively referred to one another, not exactly building confidence in the rigor of their development. But they seem to cluster around a narrative-friendly 300 million. What if that number is wrong? Now, and I believe this, and I have believed this for the longest time. I believe this before Bob researched this and went to Weapons Man. I'm going to check that out, see if they're still up. At Weapons Man in 2016, they believed the correct number to be somewhere between 412 and 660 million guns. Now, if you are really into math, buckle up, because this is going to be fun, the theoretical. Unlike most of the academics and reporters, they're going to use publicly, they use publicly available data, and they show their work. And one ATF computer system logged by serial number 252 million unique firearms and represented only those firearms manufactured, imported, or sold by a relatively small number of the nation's tens of thousands of federal firearms licensees. And he showed his work in exhaustive detail, showing how both the ATF's Voluntary Access 2000 database is used by 35 firms representing just 66 FFLs to upload data and avoid annoying on-site visits. And most of the voluntary participants are manufacturers. But there are some distributors as well. But these 66 FFLs have uploaded 252,433,229 unique serial numbers in just 15 years. And they account for just one-half of 1% of the operating manufacturers and importers. Now, if you go check the math, you will not find any significant flaw in the calculation or estimate. And, you know, this is just something to think about. This is why gun confiscation is such a such a pipe dream for some of these guys. Such a pipe dream. Shifting a little bit, you may remember, but shortly before the first suspected case of COVID-19 showed up in China, the WEF convened for a global pandemic exercise known as Event 201. It was invite only and included representatives from the WEF, Johns Hopkins, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. It was largely funded by the Open Philanthropy Project, which is closely aligned with the Clinton Foundation. And according to the official website for this preparatory practice run, Event 201 was a 2.5-hour pandemic tabletop exercise that simulated a series of dramatic, scenario-based facilitated discussions confronting difficult true-to-life dilemmas associated with response to a hypothetical but scientifically plausible pandemic. 15 global businesses, government, and public health leaders were players in the simulation exercise that highlighted unresolved real-world policy and economic issues that could be solved with sufficient political will, financial investment, and attention now and in the future. Now, you're not going to believe this, but the scenario simulated an outbreak of a novel zoonotic coronavirus transmitted from bats to pigs to people that eventually becomes efficiently transmissible from person to person, leading to a severe pandemic. The pathogen and the disease it causes are modeled largely on SARS, but is more transmissible in the community setting by people with mild symptoms. What a coincidence. Do you recall the origin story of the bat soup in the Wuhan wet markets, a virus that looks like SARS, an asymptomatic spread? Hey, and if you thought that was good, they're back. They recently hosted a new pandemic exercise, albeit it was all very hush-hush. And you couldn't find out much about it except at Johns Hopkins. The Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, in partnership with WHO and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, conducted Catastrophic Contagion, a pandemic tabletop exercise at the Grand Challenges annual meeting in Brussels, Belgium, on October 23, 2022. The exercise simulated a series of WHO Emergency Health Advisory Board meetings addressing a fictional pandemic set in the near future. Participants grappled with how to respond to an epidemic located in one part of the world that then spread rapidly, becoming a pandemic with a higher fatality rate than COVID-19. and disproportionately affecting children and young people. Participants were challenged to make urgent policy decisions with limited information in the face of uncertainty. Well, first of all, we know that the actual death rate from COVID-19 was not what they advertised it. You know, we've heard of millions of people have died from COVID-19. A lot of those people died with COVID-19, but not from COVID-19. There's a big difference. A big difference in that one. So them getting out of a pandemic with a higher fatality rate than COVID-19, but it'll affect younger people and children. Oh, no. That's because we all knew that it really didn't affect kids as badly as it did adults, and it didn't affect adults as badly as it did elderly adults. And this report illustrates one of the biggest obstacles to a free world, a message which is overtly relevant to America. Bureaucrats should not be practicing making policy decisions. That responsibility lies in the hands of legislators, all of whom are bound to confines laid forth in the Constitution and respective state constitutions. And yet, that's exactly what these sorts of people are pushing for in a global pandemic treaty, to subjugate sovereign nations to the will of a global government. And it's worth noting that exactly who the players are from the catastrophic contagion. Ambassadors from WHO, Bill Gates himself, and two of the Event 21 figures, Tom Inglesby and Anita Cicero. And we must deduce that this is a harbinger, just like Event 201 was. Klaus Schwab's Great Reset has not been fully realized, and whether we like it or not, that's the end goal. The next pandemic is coming, and times like this, these require reflection on timeless and grounding truths, like Ben Franklin. He said, those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. The first one was just an experiment. And we did exactly what they wanted, didn't we? The next one may not be nearly as easy, though, I don't think. I think they're leaving that out of their calculus. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, needs a try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
From the Guns.com radio studio, this is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by Aero Precision.
For over 25 years, Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
Check them out at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. The president and his fellow Marxists have been making a big deal about firearm deaths being up in order to push gun grabbing, background checks, ammo control, lawsuits against gun manufacturers and gun control. Ostensibly, you're supposed to be led to believe to stop all these things they're talking about. Now, according to, you know, if you take a look at statistics, it will tell you another story, because statistics don't lie. Real statistics, just plain Jane out there, stark black and white statistics, okay? According to the University of Houston's Professor Craig Pirong, who writes the Streetwise Professor blog, the increase in gun homicides documented in the Emory University study is attributable almost exclusively to one factor. A nearly 60% increase in homicide fatalities among black men. Not over a period of many years, but in a little over 1 year. And what year was that? 2020. And what happened in 2020? The death of George Floyd and the subsequent revelation that black lives especially mattered. And yes, that's what they said, but not in the way intended, not by a long shot. That death and revelation brought in its train myriad consequences. Defund the police, the war on cash bail, and the release of numerous criminals, the demoralization of police who were instructed explicitly and implicitly that arresting black male offenders was a career risk and that the subsequent surrender of the streets to the thugs just occurred, and on and on. And the release of many from jail because of COVID didn't help either. And this is as close to a natural experiment as can exist in social science. an exogenous shock. The death of one man leads to a tectonic shift in law enforcement, especially with regards to a particular demographic. And the result is a hyperbolic increase in homicide rates in that demographic. And then he has a chart. He comes complete with a chart showing an absolutely exponential rise in firearm deaths of black men, with much smaller upticks in the deaths of Hispanic and white men. The latter attributed to suicide in the original Wall Street Journal report that, you could have checked out they sort of embarrassed themselves with that one. Now, the deaths are not due to the existence of firearms, according to his argument, but to a particularly social pathology enabled by social psychosis that reached epidemic proportions in 2020. And he calls the data irrefutable. And it seems that all the Black Lives Matter protests were most enthusiastically embraced by white women, who with others outnumbered black people 6-1 at the BLM protest, were really all about mansions for the organizers and now higher death rates from firearms for black men. And those are the hardest hit, and by a monstrous margin. And that's what these protests brought to them. And it's as if these virtue-signaling, sanctimonious, and self-abasing white women leading these protests who drew expressions of contempt from black leaders, such as BET Chairman Robert Johnson, were actually trying to pick off black people, just as their Klan forebears once did, even as they claimed to champion black people. As they protested and called for police defunding, a very unpopular cause among black voters, by the way, they projected their white women reality that they can probably live without police, given that none of them own or use or have an interest in a firearm, onto black people who must deal with those consequences of empty prisons and criminals on the loose in marginalized neighborhoods. A lot of innocent people have died in these shootings. Yet the ruling orthodoxy embraced by these white women, and assorted Black Lives Matter huckster radicals, continues to call for ending cash bail and throttling the police with no concern for the consequences of black men. Black lives have always mattered. Asian lives, Hispanic lives, Caucasian lives. All American lives matter. All human life matters. And this was a particularly interesting experiment to observe. And for many, I mean, I watched it, and I watched the players, and I watched who decided to append themselves to BLM, which was Antifa. Antifa is, almost lily white. And it's made up of a bunch of people that would never, ever, ever take on anybody by themselves. But they let their rage burst forth when they are in their numbers, when they are numerically superior. Now, along the way, in the wake of all of this stuff, what we've had happening is that everybody forgot what got the inner cities to where they are in the first place, which it was all Democrat policy. It was all Democrat policy. My son plays video games, and he's playing video games the other day, and as it is with young adults, again, in the margins, they talk a little bit about this and a little bit about that. Somebody out there was wanting to know why all the violence is in the cities that were run by Republicans, and that was not received too well by that particular group of young men. And one guy comes out there and says, I'm just going to give you one name, Chicago. Chicago hasn't had a Republican mayor in 100 years. They have a mayor now who has, on her watch, a lot of these black men we're talking about are getting killed. She has a prosecutor a DA, whatever you want to call her, that will get out there and let the gang shoot at each other because it's mutual combat. You know, I guess if one gang said, you know, if we want these guys to get locked up, we got to put our guns down and just let them shoot at us. And, okay, I'm in. Let's do it. I'm excited to be a part of it. And then they just, but they call it mutual combat, man. Who's getting arrested on this? While I'm sitting around here and I think about this stuff, what angers me the most is because I know it's not about being black. Being black doesn't do anything to you. It doesn't make you think a certain way. It doesn't make you bleed the same way I do. If we were skinned, we'd look identical. Well, I'd probably look heavier. But all that joking aside, we have a generation and a half at any given time of young men, young black men who are consigned to death in the 21st century here in America because we cannot get a handle on drugs and because policies make that attractive. And in the interim, we have a bunch of politicians that will roll up on you and tell you, hey, it's about the guns. But it has nothing to do with the guns. Where you're going to have no economic opportunity, no educational opportunity, and no family structure, you are going to have issues. You're going to have a lot of issues. Young people need to be nurtured by something. They will seek it out, and unfortunately, in all too many of these inner city hellscapes, they're going to find it in a gang. Where the first time in any genuine history of their lives, they're actually valued for their existence. But it's a very perilous existence. And, you know, where's the press on this? I'd really love to know that. I know where they are. They're not going to report on this. Where's the press on this data? They should be reporting on this. They're not going to, but I get it. They're asleep at the switch. I get that. Coming up next, it's going to be writer David Kodria. This is Lock and Load. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Fusing the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expansive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.